Word's so good, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. This is our highlight of our week. This is our midweek cortisone shot. You know, my mom used to have knee problems, and she'd go see a doctor, and they'd give her a cortisone shot, and it would strengthen her knee and help her, and she'd be stronger for a few weeks or whatever, however long it lasts. Well, this is going to pump you full of faith, get you to Sunday morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. If you don't have your Bibles, number one, I encourage you to bring them with you. But if you don't, we do have the Bible up on the screens for you. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm excited about the next two messages tonight and Sunday. They are a two-part thing. The message that I was going to share tonight, the Lord said, no, that's for Sunday, and tonight's going to be the preview for Sunday's message. And so if you can't be here on Sunday, make sure you get on live stream and check out that archive and listen to that, because the Lord's trying to get something over to us. And as I was waiting on Him, He just dropped this into my spirit. And so these next two messages are going to really, really, really help people concerning their faith, their belief, and moving into all that God has for you. And so let's pray as we get into the Word this evening. Ask Him for His help, right? Amen. You didn't come to hear from me, you came to hear from Him. And so, Father, we love You tonight. We're so grateful and so thankful for the opportunity to be gathered around Your Word. Lord, help us tonight. Father, we're here because of You, not because of the preacher, not because of the name on the building, but we're here to hear from the living God. And so, Lord, speak through me, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I endeavor to speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, I thank You that You're going to speak to every single person here. Every single heart is going to receive a touch from You. Father, everybody here is going through different things, different seasons, different circumstances, different situations in their lives. And so, Father, I wouldn't know what to say that would hit everybody's situation and help everybody and touch everybody's heart. But Father, You do. And so we put our faith into You. We look to You tonight, the God of the supernatural, who could take a room full of people and give them a touch from heaven to every single one of them and leave us with something to go forward, that our lives would be bettered. And so, Father, we look to You tonight. We thank You for that. We say by faith beforehand, we're going to grow. We're going to get something. We're going to walk out of here changed, and we're going to be better than we've ever been before. So, Father, thank You for our help tonight. Do what needs to be done in this service. Say what needs to be said. And, Father, again, we'll always give You the praise. We'll always give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, Hebrews 13 and verse 17, you know that if you'll... This is not the message, but if you'll be a person who'll be humble and give God the glory, you'll see God's glory work more for you. Amen. Amen. We're never going to hijack or rob His glory. Listen, the one thing I can say that I am at least smart about is I'm smart enough to know where I came from and what I was without Him. Amen? So anything good that comes from me now or happens through the ministry, He gets all the credit for it, because none of that stuff happened without Him. Amen? So Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, or Hebrews chapter 3. Did I say 13? I meant Hebrews chapter 3. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 17 is where we're going to start. Hebrews 3 and verse 17. It says this, "But with whom He was grieved 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom He sware that they should not enter into His rest, but to them that believe not?" Now look at verse 19. What a verse here. "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." We're a faith church around here, aren't we? Amen. You know, the Lord told me years ago, one of the things that, you know, for example, Pastor Michael's ministry, a lot of that centers on the return of the Lord as far as preaching on getting people ready for when Jesus comes back. A lot of things the Lord emphasized with me early on when I would seek Him about my ministry was that He told me, number one thing I'd major on would be teaching people faith and how to walk in a faith. So that's why we teach a lot on faith. And we learn a lot of the principles of faith, but this verse shows us here and really dispels all religious belief of God's a que sera, sera God, whatsoever be, will be, and whatever God wants to do, God's going to want to do. Here's a case of where God wanted to do something, but the people's faith hindered God from being able to do what He wanted to do. What's this verse talking about? It's talking about the Israelites moving into the promised land that God had promised them. And they, the Bible says they didn't go in simply because, not because the test was too hard, not because the problem was too big. Listen, all the test does is reveal what the taker knows and what the taker has in them. Because I took tests where I failed, but the person next to me would get 100. Well, we took the same test. It was the taker's problem. And there were other takers of this test, Joshua and Caleb. They got in and passed the test, but these people didn't. And the Bible says the only reason wasn't the test was too big, wasn't that God was you know, favoring certain people above other people. It was simply because of their unbelief they were kept out. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. They were kept out. And I'm guessing, and you know, I'll say it this way first, I'm guessing that every single one of us here are endeavoring to enter into something. Yeah. That there's something before us, whether that's in the Word that we see maybe we're not experiencing, that should be before us, or something God has spoken in our heart that maybe necessarily isn't the written Word that's before us that we have not entered in yet. Well, we see here in the Word that the way we're going to get in is through faith, and the way that we'll be kept out is through unbelief. Amen. And if you don't have something before you, shame on you. You ought to always have a faith project. Say, I'm content with life. Well, then put your faith on something for somebody else. Put your faith on something for the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. We ought to be, faith is what pleases the Father. And so these next 2 weeks, we'll get into next week's service, or this Sunday service, what we're going to share after we get going here a little bit more. But the point I want to show you here is why do we major on faith so much around here? Because so many people in the body of Christ are living life as if it's just going to fall out of the sky and hit them in the head. That's not how God operates. He wanted those people to enter into what He had for them, but because of what they did, it didn't work. Because of what they did, God's plan went undone and they missed out. I mean, they really, their lives were really altered because they chose the path of doubt and unbelief over the path of faith. It's just the truth. And so we need to see that. If they can be kept out, we certainly can be kept out. That thing that is before you might seem big. That thing that is before you might seem impossible. That thing that is before you, there might not seem like there's any natural way in. Well, we know there might not be a natural way in, but that's okay. We're not dealing in the natural realm. We're dealing in the supernatural realm. The God of the supernatural, praise God. That's why we don't fret when they say that can't be done. That's why we don't worry when the doctors say it's impossible. It's incurable. There's no way. We don't care about that. We're not dealing with a natural God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're seeing that here, glory to God, that we got to get in. And so we could say it this way, and I've said it this way before, that faith is the currency of heaven. He said in Hebrews 6, we don't need to turn there, he said that people receive the promises of God through faith and patience. That means it's like this. You go to a store to purchase the promises of God, you can't pull out doubt and unbelief. You got to pull out faith to pay for that thing. Faith accesses the promises of God. If you read those mountain mover posts, you'll see a story that I'm going to repeat it here tonight. But recently, you know, I go spotting at nighttime. And, you know, that's when the biggest bucks are out. And, they're, you know, you get to see them finally and they don't hide from you as much. And so I go spotting for deer at nighttime. But, man, you know, I stay up later. It seems like my belly says, well, if you're going to keep me up later, you got to put something in me. And so I'm coming home, you know, there's a 24/7 McDonald's. And I got to think that's got to be the will of God. For all McDonald's. I mean, you can go get McDonald's anytime you want. And that's a good thing. That's why I don't understand some of you that live out here in the country out here. I got 5 minutes. I could be at McDonald's 24. I mean, that's just awesome. Oh, sorry. That's awesome. But anyways, I'm a big fan, big, big fan of their chicken nuggets. I mean, sometimes it's like I feel like God puts that in my heart that you need these right now, son, because I just can't go without them. You know, you get the barbecue sauce and the sweet and sour sauce and you dip one in the barbecue. You take a bite. You have half left. You dip the other half in the sweet and sour. That's how it's done. You should try that. It works real good. And it tastes good. But anyways, I went there the other night to get chicken McNuggets. And, you know, sometimes at the speaker you pull up and you can't hear real well. And there was a lot of mumbling going on, and I could not understand what the lady was saying. But then I did hear her say, "What may I take your order? What would you like?" And so I ordered that chicken nugget meal, you know, and I got up to the window. What I didn't realize was that she had said, "We only are taking cash tonight. It must be their credit card machine was broke down." And I didn't have cash on me. And I went up there, and I handed her my card, and she looked at me strange. She said, "I just told you we're only taking cash. I'll tell you what, you talk about my hopes and dreams just sailing away." And I thought for a second, you mean to tell me, and this was going through my head, so you're telling me I'm not going to get the chicken nuggets? For some reason in my mind, I thought she's just going to hand me the food. And that didn't happen, but here's my point. I tried to pay with something that they weren't accepting. I can sit there and argue about, take this credit card, take this credit card, take this card. No, we're only accepting cash tonight. And so many people, they want what God has for them. They want what's before them. But you're going to have to pay with the right currency. You're going to have to pay with the right currency, which is faith. Amen? Amen? Faith is the currency of heaven, so we might as well just get on board with that. Amen? Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 is where I want to go to next. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, sometimes you can't get in with the wrong thing. Pastor Tim and I tried that as young boys. We went to a concert one time. Pastor Tim's the pastor of the Jamestown Church. And there was a band that we really liked, and I don't need to go over all who it was. But anyways, he ran into them on the streets of Saratoga, New York at a concert one time. He got his picture taken with the lead singer. Well, then he carried that picture out. I mean, I'll tell you what, you talk about getting the girls to talk to you. I mean, you just pull that out and say, "This guy's my cousin." And I mean, the girls just come over. They want to hear all about it. You know, when you're in college and stuff, that's important. Back then, when you're not saved anyways, praise God. When you're not saved, that's important. Back then, that's what was important. Well, we had that picture, you know, and we went to a concert up in Canada one time. And this was before we're born again. And so we're at the concert afterwards, and we're like, you know what? We really want to go backstage with that band. We both had the light bulb at the same time. Let's use the picture to get back there. So we went up to this big old bouncer guy, you know. He looked tough and big and looked like he could handle both of us at the same time, you know, and probably two more of us. And we said, "Hey, we want to let you know that so-and-so," and remember, this is pre-Jesus, where lying was the thing to do. So don't get mad at me about those days. I'm a new creation. But I'm remembering about a guy I used to know. That's what I'm telling you about. A guy I used to know, we pulled that picture out, and we said, "Hey, our cousin, so-and-so, this lead singer, said he wants us to go backstage." I mean, it was the dumbest thing in the world. Why would that even be the truth? But we just, in our, you know, young minds, thought that would work. And the bouncer looked at us and looked up and looked down at the picture and said, "No, not getting backstage." But we thought that you could just get backstage with that picture. We thought we could do anything with that picture. But it wasn't the right thing. You needed a different type of ticket to get backstage. Amen? And so many Christians, what are they doing? "Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, why me? Oh, Lord, I just do something for me, Father. Oh, Lord," grumbling and moaning. You know, they go up to the promises of God counter, and there's God behind there, the clerk. He's so willing. He's so ready to just, you know, that McDonald's clerk was just willing and ready to give me that food, but I didn't do the right part of the transaction. And God's just willing. God was willing to say, "Okay, children of Israel, here you go. Just exchange faith and I'll give you the promised land. Just exchange me some faith and I'll give you the promised land." And there they were, groaning and a moaning and a grumbling and a griping and a complaining. "It's too hard. I can't do it. We should just be back in Egypt where we were slaves. Oh, it'd be better if we just died in the wilderness. Oh, get us a different guy. We don't need Moses anymore." I mean, they just went a whining and they cried and thought, "Man, I'll just tug hard enough on the heartstrings of God and that'll get them to act." But it didn't. It got them to do what? Shut the door on them. Because they needed him to go into that promised land. They didn't have his power. Why? They kicked him out without unbelief. So we better make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that the things that are before us, we better make sure that we aren't in unbelief. And 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says this, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." Now in the Amplified, we don't need to go there. I'll just read the beginning of that. It says, "Examine, test, and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to faith and showing the proper," "fruits of it. Test and prove yourselves." So the Bible's saying that we ought to have or ought to perform faith checkups on ourselves and faith examinations on ourselves. To what? What does a test or an examination show? It reveals what's there. Well, we need to examine and test ourselves. Are we really in faith that it takes to enter in, because without it, we'll be kept out. So I want to help you tonight to, how many of you know, it would help to know if we're believing, because if we're just going along and we're thinking we're hitting the mark and we're not, you know, what's the mark? The Word of God's the mark. If we think we're hitting the mark and we're really not, we're going to be sorely disappointed. And then what happens is the pastor starts getting blamed. God starts getting blamed. The word of faith starts getting blamed. Oh, this faith message doesn't work. Oh, that pastor's off in what he teaches. Oh, God's a sovereign God. He just must not want it for me. No, no, no. The word is the mark. If people will hit the word, they'll get in. It's the truth. Praise God. And so, you know, isn't it wise naturally to do medical checkups? How many stories, maybe you know people or have heard stories of people that have had a checkup and something was discovered and it ended up saving their life because some problem that they didn't know was discovered. Well, what if tonight we discover, hey, maybe that thing I'm believing to enter in for, maybe I'm not truly in faith. Well, then we need to get that out there and exposed so we can make adjustments. Because when someone goes to the doctor and said, hey, we discovered this problem, then usually there's a procedure that's put in place to fix the problem. A medication, certain type of therapy, physical therapy, whatever needs to happen with that diagnosis, it's good to know. And how many times have you heard of stories where they said, boy, if they would have just got that thing checked up, it would have been easy and fixed. Or maybe they find something way down the road and they said, oh, you know, I've been personally a part of some of those things that when in people's lives. And they said, oh my goodness, if they'd have caught that early. Well, we want to catch some things early if there's something to be caught. Amen. Amen. Now hopefully tonight we say, no, we're standing in faith. We're going forward. I remember, you know, but we don't want to be deceived is what I'm saying. I had, for those of you that have been here, you've heard my story of how I had the pleasure of being a maid of honor without the dress. A maid of honor one time, and a friend of mine, Jill was her name, and we were, her and Pastor Tim were my two best friends growing up, and she asked me to be the maid of honor, and I guess I wasn't a maid, but I was that person standing there next to her, you know, and took those responsibilities and role there. But her and I were planning on going to college together at the University of Pittsburgh at the Bradford campus. And we got all excited to go look at the school one day. And, you know, in Jamestown, you know, over there on Route 6, by Route 60 there, you get on the interstate there. And you can go, you know, one or two ways, east or west on 86. And we got on 86, and we knew it was about a 45-minute drive. And we're just excited, thinking about our possibility. We're getting ready to graduate high school. And we're excited about going to college together. And, you know, we weren't, we were just friends. You know, there was no romantic interest there at all. We were just really close, loved the Bills, loved sports, things like that. Just got along real well. And we're driving down the road, and we knew it's about 45 minutes, and all of a sudden we come to Erie. We're thinking, Erie? What are we doing in Erie? Did we miss the exit? And then finally we made a phone call and realized we went the wrong way on 86. We went west, and you're supposed to go east towards Olean to get to Pitt Bradford, but here's the point of it. The whole time we're going along, we're just happy, singing songs on the radio, rejoice, oh, I can't wait to get there, thinking the whole time we're doing something right, but yet it caused us to not be able to enter in to where we needed to go. Amen. How many Christians? Oh, I'm hitting the mark, but yet you never hit the mark. And then it's like, well, this doesn't work. What, you know, you start condemning yourself. Well, let's just find out. Let's examine. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, that's why I'll just say this naturally. This came up out of my heart. Naturally, when you're going through something physically, how many of you know I believe that God's healing is better than doctors and is better than medicine? But we're not down on doctors and we're not down on medicine. We're thankful. Everybody's faith is at a different place. And this is what I'd say. Unless, if you're having troubles in your body, unless the Spirit of God, and you got to know that you can hear the Spirit of God, unless the Spirit of God is telling you, don't go the medical route, you better go the medical route and get it checked out. Yes. Amen? Amen. Unless the Spirit of God's telling you, and you know that it's going to be okay, or that you know you're in faith. So many people don't know their measure of faith, and they just think, well, it's not faith to go to the doctor. It's not faith to go the route of medicine. No, it's foolishness to not go there if you're not in full faith for healing. Amen. It's just the truth. And sometimes people think faith means flushing your brain down the toilet, and it doesn't mean that. You know, if anything, go find out and then get your faith on what they say. Now, again, if the Holy Ghost says don't go, I had a situation one time This is one of those rabbit trails we're taking. I had a situation one time. I had some things going on in my body. And, you know, you do the wrong thing. You get on Google and Wikipedia and talk to people, and they'll fill your head with just all sorts of scary things, you know. And it could either have been absolutely nothing, or it could have been really serious. I mean, it was like opposite ends of the spectrum here of what it could be. And I prayed about that, and my spirit said, don't go. I didn't have insurance at the time. This was what the Holy Ghost said to me. Don't go. It's nothing. It's the thing that absolutely will be nothing for you. And because if I go, I'm going to have to pay for this. I'm going to have to pay for this because I don't have. Now, you shouldn't go. You shouldn't not go to the doctor because you don't have insurance. You should go in faith and believe God will provide the money if he tells you to go. Because there's been times, too, where I did things out of stupidity because I was in fear and finances, and it cost me. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just the truth. Don't let me forget about that story, but let's tell on my stupidity. At one time, I was going to Rhema, Kenneth Hagin's Bible School in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and I was one of the top three times I was ever the sickest or hurt in my body. I had come down with, three or four different types of infections in my throat and in my ears and in my lungs and different things. I came home after losing like 20, 25 pounds. I was hardly recognizable. And here I'm at a faith school. I missed 2.5 weeks of school. Well, what happened was I got into fear. You know, fear's a door opener. The Bible says Job, the thing that Job greatly feared came on him. God had put a hedge around him, and the devil had access into Job. Why? A door of fear was opened up. Fear is not faith. And I didn't go to the, you know, I was there, and you know, I was believing God for my rent, believing God for my truck payment, believing God for my school payment. And winter time came, and heating bills. And instead of believing God for the money and using wisdom, you know what I would do like a dummy? I'd take a hot shower to get nice and warm, and then not have my heat on in the house. And it was 50-some degrees in there. The winters in Oklahoma could get cold. And I'd go jump into bed with a wet head and cold. I mean, I was dumb. And I got sicker than I had ever been up until that point. And I knew that I had opened the door because of fear. Well, that wasn't wisdom. Amen? I should have believed God for that money. Well, it's the same way. The Lord told me, don't go get this medical procedure done. Because if you do, you're going to waste your money. You're going to find out it's nothing. The Holy Ghost revealed that to me through a word of wisdom about the future. Well, I got to talking about some things to the wrong people. You got to be careful who you tell things to, because some people don't have a platform of faith or a view of faith, and they'll start spewing fear, doubt, and unbelief to you. I'm talking close people, family members, you know. The Bible says be careful what you hear. Why? Because what you hear, the Bible says, is what you'll have faith for. And so I listened. What if it's this? You got to go check that out. It could be. Well, I started hearing that so much, that's where my faith ended up. And I bypassed what the Lord said and went and got it checked out. Found out it was exactly what the Holy Ghost said. It was absolutely nothing. It was a waste of time for me to have that test, and it cost me money. I had to pay off for a while. Well, so you got to follow the Holy Spirit. Amen? You got to follow the Holy Spirit and find out whether what He's saying, and follow what the route of faith is. Praise God. But we don't want to be going along tonight and just thinking we're hitting the mark. Let's examine some things. Go to Romans 4 and verse 19. Let's examine some things concerning what faith is and what faith isn't. And make sure that thing, you know, we could have just been as happy as forever. Just keep going down 86 West. We'd have got to Erie. Then we would have had a choice to go to Cleveland or Pittsburgh. We thought, my gosh, I didn't know the school. We could just kept driving and driving all the way across America. Stay on 90, go to Cleveland or whatever, and I mean, just kept going and going. We don't want that to just keep going and going. Oh, we're in faith. We're just in faith. You know, the worst thing to be would be, we know patience is a part of faith, but we don't want patience to be part of it because we're messing the whole thing up. They could have said, well, this 40 years, that's part of faith and patience, but it wasn't. That 40 years patience was because they were in unbelief and they were kept out. Well, what if we find out tonight? We're going along. No, pastor told me faith is patient. Faith is patient. Faith is patient. I'm just waiting. But then we expose something and find out, oh, no, wait a minute. I've never been in faith in the first place. I'm not even going towards the destination. That's what we're going to find out. Praise God. And then Sunday's message will tie with it as well. But Romans chapter 4 and verse 19 says, and being not weak in faith, this is Abraham, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was 90. Remember, they were promised a baby. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, or basically you could say it this way, he was fully persuaded that what God said, God would do. So Abraham staggered not, considered not, and was fully persuaded. That's what faith looks like. Staggering not, considering not, but only fully persuaded in what God has said. Now, you would have to check your own heart. Remember the example I used about whether or not we are truly in faith? I'll use it again. Remember this example that I said, if you want to know if you're truly in faith, because the Bible says true faith is full persuasion, staggering not, considering not, but being fully persuaded. And I said to you, if I hold my hand out here with this water bottle and nobody moves, nobody comes up here, and I say, I'm going to let this water bottle go and I'm going to keep my hands away, how many of you think if I drop this thing, it's going to fall and hit my Bible? I mean, if I asked that and said, if I let go of that, every single one of you are going to say, Pastor, I believe that water bottle is going to hit that Bible. You wouldn't stagger at that. You wouldn't consider anything else. You'd be fully persuaded that if I went like this and open my hand, it's going to hit there, right? You would know 100%. Well, let me ask you a question. That which is before you, that which is out that God has put on your heart or out before you in the Word that you're endeavoring to enter in, are you as persuaded? Are you as convinced that you're going to walk into that thing and see that manifestation as convinced as you were that that bottle was going to hit the Bible? I don't know. Only you would know that. But that's what faith is. Amen? That's the Joshua and Caleb faith that said, we don't care that there's cities. We don't care that it's walled. We don't care that there's already people there. We're going to have what God has said we could have. But the people that were kept out, they considered what? The walls. They considered the people already there. They staggered at the giants in the land. They were not fully persuaded and they were kept out. So unless you're fully persuaded and are not staggering or not considering, you won't see it either. Well, let's find out if you're staggering and considering by looking some things. Are you ready to go to the faith doctor tonight? Here we go. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Now this, again, to expose something is not to beat you over the head with it and make you feel bad. It's to start the process of help for you. Until it gets seen and shown, that's not to say, oh, you're terrible, you're doing this. No, we need to expose these things. It's the things we're doing wrong that are hurting us. We want those things brought to the surface. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 says the same day, verse 35, when evening was come, he said unto them, let's pass over to their side. Mark 4 and verse 36 says, when they sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And the hinder of the back part of the ship, he was asleep on the pillow. And they awoke him and said, Master, do you not care that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you afraid? Well, wouldn't you say that a synonym of afraid would be worry? Yeah. A synonym of afraid would be, fear, worry, anxiety. Wouldn't you say they're all the same thing? He said, why are you afraid? Why are you worried? Why are you stressed out over this? And then we see, how is it that you have no faith? So ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about this before, and we'll just hit on it for just a second here. If you are in any kind of worry, stress, anxiety, or fear about that which you are to enter into, or in your life, you are on the wrong highway. And you're driving away from your destination, not towards it. Are you worried? What does worried mean? Brother Hagin put it this way and made it clear what worry is. He said, how do you know you're worried? If you're thinking about it all the time, you're worried about it. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. That's worry. That's stress. That's the truth. We see the difference of worry's response and faith's response. What was faith's response? Sleeping on the back of the boat. Jesus knew they'd encounter a storm. He knew there was a storm going on because he knew before he got on the boat there was going to be one. But he said, we're going to the other side. So when the problem came, he just rested through it. He didn't pace the floor. Oh my God. Oh my God. Get on the phone. Do you know what I'm going through? You know what's happening? You know what they're saying? You know what they said on Google? You know what the banker said today? You know that, da, 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 da. Hang those phones up. It's true. If you're in worry, in fear, anxious, stressed out about what is before you, you are not in faith and you're going away from what God has for you. Now let me help you with something to take it a step further. You can have, where is faith originate? Faith originates in one's heart. Faith is in two places, the Bible says. In your heart. He said, therefore I've believed, therefore I've spoken. Remember over there in Romans verse 10, it says, the word of faith, the word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. It originates in your heart. You hear the word or God speaks something to you. Faith rises up and then you speak or confess for the promise. That's how you got born again. Somebody told you about Jesus, faith rose up. Then you confessed it with your mouth. That's how you're going to get your healing. That's how you're going to get every promise of God. It's just like that, praise the Lord. That's how you're going to get it. But let me tell you this. You can have faith in your heart while having extreme doubt in your head and still be in the will of God. Don't let the devil tell you you're not in faith because your head's a mess. Let me tell you something. When God told me I could have a church, when God told me, when they spoke over this church and said, you're going to need about an extra $100,000 to put in an unnecessary sprinkler system, in my heart, I knew that was not going to be the case. In my head, it was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because my head, but I don't go by my head, I go by my heart. And I don't sit there and let my head go crazy. I bring every thought captive to the word. Just because your head's talking, you need to take captive what it's saying. You need to respond to those thoughts. But just know you can be in full faith in your heart and your head be a mess, a doubting face. But do something about your brain. Bring it to the word, praise God. So ask yourself, so examine, am I afraid? Am I worried? Am I worried over my money? Am I worried over the doctor's report? Am I fearful that that's not going to turn around? Am I fearful that I'm going to be alone the rest of my life? That the job's not going to come? That the doctors, whatever they say? I don't know. You have to ask yourself. Examine yourselves. Praise God. So that's number one. Number two, go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. If you are filled with condemnation and guilt, you are not in faith. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. Let me say it again because you must not have heard me. Let's rewind. If you are in condemnation or guilt, you are not in faith. Hey, you heard me that time. We need to know this. Condemnation and guilt is not the flow of faith. Because the Bible, anytime you do something that's not the word, you're not in faith. There is therefore now no. Everybody say no. That means whatever the devil's telling you in your head that you should feel guilty about or condemned about, he's lying to you. What are you going to believe, the lies or the word? I choose to take the get out of condemnation free card. Romans 8 chapter 1 is the condemnation free card. I choose to just take that and say, there's no condemnation, devil. I know you're telling me about that and you're bringing pictures in my head and showing me films of what's happened in my past. But God says I got to get out of jail free card. Amen. He said there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Praise God. Who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Why is it a problem? Go to Hebrews 4:16. I'll show you why it's a problem and why it's not faith. Number one, of course, it's not the word. It's anti-word to be in doubt and unbelief. But Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, let us Christians, children of God. Now, I call Hebrews 4:16 heaven's invitation. This is God writing you out an invitation and inviting you somewhere. But God says, for this party, I want you to bring something. Just like the picnic. Now, you can come without bringing something, but we're asking people, bring something. You ever been to a party and said, hey, will you bring the buns? Will you bring the chips? Will you bring the drinks? And you know, you want to show up with those things because the people are counting on you to have them, and it, right? And you don't want to go to a party with no buns. Unless you're on one of those low-carb thingies. But you got to have a bun. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4 and verse 16, God says, come. But I want you to bring something. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain. What's he saying? I want you to come, but in order for you to obtain, I want you to bring something with you. Well, boldness is faith. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain and find grace to help in time of need. Now, here's the thing. Why is condemnation not faith? Because if you're full of guilt and you're full of condemnation and you're beating yourself up, there's no way you'll get in the presence of perfection. There's no way you'll get in the presence of, remember that story I always say that Pastor Michael uses about the cookie jar story? Where the kid that's allowed to be in the cookie jar, you know, he can have cookie all over his face, and when mom walks in, he can be in the presence of mom. And he doesn't care. But, you know, little Johnny that's not supposed to be in the cookie jar, that didn't eat his vegetables, and mom said, no cookies for you. But he sneaks and gets them anyways and gets cookie all over his face. When mom comes in the presence of mom, because he's guilty, because he's condemned, he's not bold with his mom. He shies away from mom. If you bring to God all your failures, all your mistakes, every time you were a human and missed it, and how bad you stirred this up, and this and that, your faith will go right out the window. The same way little Johnny's faith, boldness or faith, went right out the window. But if you stand in his presence, that's why Jesus was so bold with the Father. He'd never missed it one time. Bible said, Jesus said, the devil, you have nothing in me, devil. Nothing in me. Well, if we repent for our wrongdoing and move forward in the blessing that God gives us, the get out of condemnation free card, we can then stand therefore boldly in the presence of our God and not stand there and think, oh my gosh, does he see my sin? Is he thinking about that? No. He said, I'll wash it as white as snow. So, do a faith checkup. Are you condemning yourself? Are you in guilt? Do you still beat yourself up? If you are, you took the wrong exit and you're going the wrong way from your promise. Hallelujah. So number one, if you're worried and fear, anxious, stressed out, no. If you're filled with condemnation, no. Now number three, go to Genesis 16 and verse 1. If whatever is before you that God has spoken to you through the word or in your heart, if you are trying to make it happen on your own without trusting God, you are not in faith. Let's give you the story here. Genesis 16 and verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abraham, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. Now you're going to see Abraham, I believe, was about 86 years old when this happened. Well, God told him when he was 75, you will have a son. Well, what had happened? Over time, they became weary. They got off the faith train. And now they start saying, we're getting older and older. And the doctors say this, God said we're going to have a baby, but he must be restraining and holding back from himself. No, God wasn't holding back. He said, I pray thee now go unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her handmaid the Egyptian, after Abram, and dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she was conceived. She was a younger woman. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress despised in her eyes. Now, without reading the rest of this story, basically what happened here was it wasn't happening the way they thought it should happen. And they got worried and stressed out. And so they tried to make this promise that God said I would do. They tried to make it happen on their own. going their own route, doing their own thing. And they had what we call an Ishmael. And if you study Ishmael and the history of Ishmael, it did not work out good. Lynn, will you pull up Proverbs 10 and verse 22? Proverbs 10 and verse 22 says, well, everybody see it. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrow. They got the blessing of a child, but because it wasn't the blessing of the Lord, it added sorrow. So if what's before you is stressing you out to the point and you're getting anxious and worried and can't figure it out and all this, and you start trying to make it happen and putting the pieces your own way, you're not in faith and you're not going closer to it, you're going farther away from it. Amen. It's true. Psalms 127 in verse 1. Psalms 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You can build things, but you'll be in vain if it ain't God's will. If it ain't God's plan. Basically, what I'm saying to you is that when God puts something before you in His Word or in your heart, He's going, we know we have to get into faith, but at times He will show us through the leading of the Holy Ghost how to get in and move into that thing. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Proverbs says the candle of the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. He says, the way I direct you and lead you is through the Holy Spirit. And so what people do at times is the manifestation, maybe it's money. Let me use an example for you in my own life, money-wise. Remember the house I was believing God for, and the Lord spoke to us and told us an exact amount that the woman would take the house for. And so the amount that the Holy Ghost told us was tens of thousands of dollars less than what she was asking for it. And then our realtor, when we were going to go make a pitch, remember he said, I need you to meet with the woman, because God had already told me some things that kind of blew his mind. He said, I'm not going to tell her, you tell her all this. I don't want to look crazy, you can look crazy. And I don't want to get into all that. But anyways, he told us tens of thousands of dollars less is what she'd accept that for. Because that's what we prayed. Lord, what's the number she'll accept? Well, it was tens of thousands of dollars less. And then we found out before we go into that meeting, the realtor said, we just want you to know, I believe it was about five people. Five people have offered to pay full price for this place. And one of them said, I'll go over and above it. I'll pay more than what she's asking. So he tells me this before I go into the meeting. And I know I'm about to tell her, I'll pay you tens of thousands of dollars less when she's already been told we'll pay you exactly what you're asking for and we'll pay you more if need be. You talk about messing with my head. But there again, if I try to make it happen my own way, because I'll tell you what the temptation was, to go away from God's way and the way God was saying to do it and to do it my own way and go in there and say, we'll pay you full price, we'll just pay whatever it takes, we want the house. You get into fear, you get into worry. Come on. That's not faith. That's not faith. My goodness, my goodness. I remember coming across the border with Pastor Michael from a Doctrine and Frame meeting in Canada. And as I was coming across the border, the Spirit of God dropped it in my heart. And this is what He said, you will start other churches. And I already had this one. He said, you will start other churches, plural. Oh, well, it just dropped into my spirit. Well, I knew it was God, and I turned to my mentor, my pastor, who stands in that office of the apostle, the office of a prophet, and I said, sir, now I had started to get some things in those meetings in Canada that there was going to be a little shifting and change, but then right when we were waiting in line at the border, boom, it dropped in my heart, you will start other churches. I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting, you know, but I told my pastor, I said, I know, because I knew it for a fact, I'm going to start other churches, and he said, you know, in your ordination, which was over across the parking lot in the storefront over there, he said, when I laid hands on you in your ordination, he said, there will be times, and if you go back and listen to the word, he said, there will be times that you'll step into a different office. He said, when I laid hands on you, I saw you starting other works. So he confirmed it for me. Well, I got into my own head, and I thought to myself, Well, I'm in South Dayton at 10 o'clock on Sundays. It's going to be a Sunday church, and I need to figure out how I can get to, what other town can I get to that I can do a 9 a.m. somewhere and 11 a.m. somewhere else? Just what my head was thinking. And so I went to Gowanda, and I was convinced it must be Gowanda, because it's only 20 minutes away. I can get there and have a Sunday here, a Sunday there. I went there, walked around, looked at buildings, and man, I'll tell you what, there was nothing in my spirit. I thought I missed it. It's Randolph. So I went down to Randolph and walked around and looked at buildings. I said, that's 25 minutes away. I could surely get to Randolph. Walked around, nothing there. Finally, I thought, you know what I usually do when people don't know the answer? I encourage them to pray. And I actually said, Lord, I'm sorry. What was I trying to do? Make it happen on my own. And then I found out, no, you're going to start a church an hour away from your house on a Saturday night in Olean. And it's worked out perfectly. We've had miracles, signs, and doors have opened. Why? Because it was God's way. But I could try to do it myself. Amen. Amen. We don't want Ishmaels. We want Isaacs. Amen. Amen. What about, I'm going to keep going on this point here for a second. What about people that are single that are believing for a spouse? You can have the blessing of what God brings you, or you can go out and get it yourself. And it'll lead to sorrow. Yeah. I've dealt with a lot of people on this issue. I mean, I'm talking about, I'm not saying, I'm trying to be stereotypical. I'm just saying in my experience, it's mostly been with young women who are just, you know, whether they have self-esteem problems or they're just, you know, they don't have any, they're not comfortable enough being alone, and they're just so guy crazy. I've seen this before. And most of the people that I've really dealt with on this, they end up leaving my church because they don't want to hear it. But I had a woman come to me one time. She said, Pastor, my boyfriend, she was loving the church in Olean, so excited. She said, my boyfriend's an atheist. He wants nothing to do with God. And then her next statement was, but I'm thinking about marrying him. I said, say what? Right. He's an atheist, doesn't want the things of God, and you're going to join to that? You do know who your daddy-in-law will be. Right. Who's her daddy-in-law? The devil. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the enemy. And if you're not born again, guess who dad is? This is the truth. He's the father of lies. And, you know, I told her, I said, you know, you ought to put that on hold and just get God crazy and not guy crazy. Because if you'll get God crazy, God will bring you the right guy. Amen. Amen. You seek ye first the kingdom and all these things will come to you. But so many people don't do it that way because many different issues. They don't go the faith route. They get into the doubt and unbelief. And I don't want to be alone. Money situations and worried and different things. And they make wrong decisions. And so be patient. Amen. And go God's way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They end up putting them places. And they go places Christians ought to be. They compromise themselves and do things. Just they get crazy. They're not God enough crazy. Amen. We don't want Ishmaels. We want Isaacs. Praise God. So trying to make things happen your own way. So number one, if you're worried, you're not in faith. Number two, if you're filled with condemnation, you're not in faith. And number three, if you're trying to make it happen on your own, you're not in faith. Now, I need to say something because this has popped up in my spirit. Let's say any one of these things you realize. I feel like, Pastor, I've done things my own way. I've made mistakes. And you know what you do? You repent and you get into Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, which is no condemnation. Because here's the thing. God said you're his child and he's going to help you. He said, I'll forgive you. I'll look down upon you and I'll wipe it away. It'll be like the east from the west. I won't remember. So let's say you made a mistake yourself and it puts you in a bad place. You know what you do? You repent to God. And now when he looks down at you, because he said, I'll forget what you've done. He looks down at you as just being a child of God that's in trouble. Because let's face it. We've all done things in our past that we didn't have the Holy Ghost. We didn't know how to do certain things with our kids, with marriages, with how we conducted our lives. Well, what are we supposed to do? Beat ourselves up? No, we didn't know. And if we're a new creation, and if that happened when we weren't even born again, you don't even have to repent because you've been made brand new. But if it even, say you became a Christian and you didn't renew your mind, or you had a spell in your life for a season where you weren't following the Holy Ghost and you missed God, the same thing applies. Just ask for forgiveness. And then God looks at you as a child in a problem that he's not saying, well, you did that to yourself. That's not our God. Well, I hope you enjoy that. That's not what God said he'd do. He said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions For my sake, he says, and I will not remember your sins. He says, I'm not even blotting them out for your sake. I'm blotting them out for my sake. So if you say, well, Pastor, I'm the one, I did that. I did things on my own, and now I'm in a mess. Okay, repent and start following God. And now he'll look at you and he'll start giving you, okay, you want to get out of that thing? Do this. You want to turn that thing around? Do that. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Don't let the devil tell you it's too late for you. And let me just say this to you. If you did do things in your past life that if someone would say you have an opportunity to go back and change, but you know you can't do it, stop beating yourself up for those things. You didn't know. You didn't know what you didn't know the leading of the word. You didn't know what the word said about things. Stop letting the devil harass you. Just employ the help of the Father right now. That's what faith would do. That's what faith would do. Faith doesn't take a situation that you made a mess of and sit there and wallow around in defeat and self-defeat. No, faith says, Father, I'm sorry, I need you, get me out of this thing. And he will, praise God. Now, so number one, if you're worried, you're not in faith. If you're in fear, you're not in faith. If you're filled with condemnation, you're not in faith. If you're trying to make it happen on your own, you're not in faith. And now last but not least, Matthew 12 and verse 37. Your words will tell us if you're in faith or not. If you're speaking wrong, you're not in faith. And I'm not talking about when you come in these doors. I'm not talking about when you are on the phone with me or face-to-face with me. What about when the bill shows up in the mail? What about when the devil's talking to you when you're laying there at nighttime? Or the doctor says, this hasn't changed. Or your checkbook says, this hasn't changed. What are you saying? What is your response? That is a litmus test of whether or not you're believing. For by your words shall you be justified. And by your words you will be condemned. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. A man's belly will be satisfied by his lips. Amen. That's what the Bible says. The fruit of his lips shall man be satisfied. James said this. He said, your tongue is like a rudder and your tongue is like a bit in the horse's mouth. Well, what does the rudder and the bit do? They control things. What does the tongue do? It controls your whole life. I'm telling Caleb a little bit on the way to church. I was joking around with him, but I got to say it here. I said to Caleb, you know, I said, 6 weeks. Remember on the way to church? I said, 6 weeks from today, I'll be doing such and such. And he said, 6 days? Oh my gosh, 6 days. I said, buddy, 6 weeks. And he goes, oh, I must have hearing problems. And I said, what church do you go to? You must not go to my church, is what I was saying to him in the car. You must not go to my church if you're confessing that you have hearing problems. Now, of course, it's lighthearted and joking around. He goes, no, Dad, I go to your church. I said, no, you must not. That's not how we talk. Didn't that happen on the way to church today? It happened. Yeah, you don't say that. Don't say you have hearing problems. Why would you say that? Don't say that. You don't get right on that. But it's true. What do people say? Oh, it's never going to happen. It's just too hard. I can't do that. It'll never be for me. Your faith, your words are just a picture of what you really believe. Amen? Last but not least, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. This is quite a checkup, right? You know, well, at the doctor, they don't just check your ears. They check your nose. They check your mouth. They check, you know, they feel around your body, poke and prod you. You know, they don't just check one thing. So we're checking you over here. Faith examination. We've already checked your worry, your fear, your condemnation. If you're trying to make it happen on your own, we're checking your words. Now let's check something else here. Galatians chapter 5 in verse 6 says this. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh, the Amplified says, which is activated and energized by love. What is the power to your faith? Love is. Remember Paul said, though I have faith that I could remove mountains. Isn't that the kind of faith we want? Mountain moving faith? But he says, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Amen. He said, faith works by love. Again, the Amplified says it's activated and energized by love. You know, what faith is the generator. Yeah. What's the generator do? It gives power to everything you need. Right. But the generator can't run unless there's fuel in it. Right. What's the fuel to your faith? Love. Are you ready? If your love walk has been flushed down the toilet while you're believing in what's before you and you've become discouraged, you've become grumpy, you've become short with people, you've become just someone that's no fun to be around, your faith is not working. You got off the wrong exit. You're going away from your promise. Romans 15 and verse 3. Amen. Romans 15 and verse 3. Oh my gosh, the people that are missing this stuff in our church that need to hear these things. Thank you for taking your appointment with God seriously. You know that you showing up here tonight and being in those seats does nothing different for my life. Why do you harp on church? Doesn't do anything for me whether you're here or not. And I'm glad to see you and I'm excited about it. That does do that. But I'm whether you are in those seats or not, I'm going to preach the same word. Amen. Whether you are in those seats or not, I'm going to walk home to the same blessed family. Amen. I'm going to walk home to the same blessing God. Amen. And I'm going to enjoy the fruits of God no matter what, if you're here or not. It benefits you, glory to God. Hallelujah. You say, oh, there must be an agenda. What agenda is there? I started this church with nobody except her and Caleb in her belly. Had no one committed to this church. There were no money. There were no people filling the seats. Started just because God said to do it. My agenda to tell people, why aren't you here? Is because, aren't you glad you were here tonight? I mean, the things you learned and are getting, you know, showing you your faith. Praise God. Romans 15 and verse 3. That's not where I want to go. I have no idea where that verse is. I was convinced it's in that verse. Hold on a second. What in the world happened? It's fill you with peace and joy in your believing. Where is that? Somebody help me. Peace and joy. Verse 13, not 3. I knew there was a 3 there. Give me some credit. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you. Now notice this. Joy and peace in believing. You want to know whether you're truly in faith? Is it accompanied by joy and peace? If you're a grumbler and a griper, and people got to walk on eggshells around you, and people are afraid that you're going to snap at any second, and you're disgruntled, your love walk has been flushed down the toilet, there's no joy and peace there, you're not in faith. And what happens to people that are not in faith? The door gets shut. The door gets shut. And I'll tell you, you can close the Bible now to really help you think we're done. Get your hopes up, you know, for those of you that want to go home and eat dinner or something, but... if anything, I believe that the point of faith that we major on around here is letting people know that faith is your part. Yes. That is your part to play in all this. In so much of the body of Christ, I know because I've been from it. She's been from it. Many of you had told me that's where you came from. So many of you come in and say, I've never been shown this. I thought God was just going to do what God wants to do. Well, the woman with the issue of blood found out she got healed because of her faith. Blind Bartimaeus found out he got healed because of his faith. The Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15 found out she was healed. Her daughter was healed because of her faith. The children of Israel found out they were kept out because of their unbelief. Joshua and Caleb found out they were allowed to go in because of their faith. And if there's anything that we major on, we get a double major on in faith, it's the fact that we're trying to show people you have a part to play in this, and faith is your part, and if you don't do your part, it will hinder your life. Amen. That's why I say how your life turns out has way more to do with you than it does God. Amen. God's provided. Now, that doesn't mean we pat ourselves on the back and we get gloated and think, oh, this is a me gospel. No. We know that the Bible says, for by grace are you saved. Why are we saved? Not because of our faith. We're saved because of the grace. What's the grace? The grace is because of Him. His power, His mercy, His goodness. But it says, by grace are you saved through faith. God has to have something to flow the grace and the power through, and He flows it through your faith. Caleb and Joshua hooked up a pipeline of faith. God poured the power through. The children of Israel hooked up a pipeline of doubt and unbelief. It didn't get anything. Multitudes were thronging Jesus in Mark chapter 5. Yet when the woman with the issue of blood touched Him, Jesus noted, something came out of Me. She hooked up something different to Jesus than the whole crowd. And when she hooked up the right thing, power flew out. The power of God is always present. It's always able. He's the same always. He doesn't take vacations from His power. He doesn't take vacations from His provision, from His healing. He's always the same. But people at times don't hook into that power. The oil and gas, remember, is always in the ground. But till somebody hooks a pipeline to it, we don't experience it. But it's always there. Amen. So I hope you examined yourself. I hope you took a true look at some things. These are the things the Spirit put on my heart. So I'm believing that those are the reasons that some of the things that people are going through. You don't want to go in the wrong direction. So what is Sunday going to be about? Well, Sunday, I'm going to help you with something that the Lord dropped in my heart about tonight and Sunday. A message that's going to solve all this for you. That because people say, it's hard to believe when the money's not there. It's hard to be excited when the doctors say this, or I'm feeling this in my body, or the natural, and it's really hard. It's not hard. See, now this is Pastor Mike getting the carrot out and dangling it in front of you. For me, it would be a Krispy Kreme, because a carrot's going to get me to go the other way. I'm not going to go after a carrot. But you dangle a Krispy Kreme, I'll follow you. So I'm dangling the Krispy Kreme out there. And Sunday, we're going to talk about how can we put ourselves in a position to not be shaken, rattled, and rolled. To not have our socks rocked when things come against us. And we know that faith's the only way in it. How can I have faith when I'm facing this? And that's a question that people have. But Pastor, it's big and scary and hard. What I'm going to talk about Sunday will take care of all that for you. And I know some of you are thinking, preach it right now, but I'm not going to. You're going to have to go home and digest this stuff first and take care of all this and then come back Sunday morning. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word this evening. We're so grateful. So thankful for what You give us. We thank You for our health checkup. We thank You for our faith checkup is what I should say. We thank You for it, Father. Now, Lord, if every part of our faith body You examined were wrong, we'll just have to fix every part. If it was one, we'll make an adjustment. If none of those things came up, well, then we'll just make sure to keep them before us, that those are things we got to make sure that we look for that don't happen. Father, we're not trying to condemn people or hurt people, but we're trying to help people. My goodness, Lord, the children of Israel missed out on what You had, and the Bible tells us why, their unbelief. Oh, Lord, we don't want to miss out on what You have for us because we weren't in faith. Father, what You have before us is so good. It's so wonderful. It's so great, but it's going to take faith. That it's, if you look up the GPS of the direction to get to where we need to go, the GPS is going to say, get on the highway of faith and don't get off. It'll take you right to your destination. So, Father, help us tonight. I pray everybody's eyes would be open. They'd realize what we talked about here tonight, the adjustments that need to be made. And, Father, we love You and praise You. And let's just worship Him. We love You, Jesus. We glorify You. Now, Father, as I look around this room, I know everybody in this room's born again. But, Father, there might be somebody listening by live stream that isn't. There might be somebody listening on the archives that's not born again. And if you're listening right now or in the future on the archive, and you've never made Jesus your Lord, and you say, I want to go to heaven. I want to be a part of this family where God's helping me. And I do believe in Jesus. Well, there's two qualifications to get into heaven. Number one, you got to believe in the Lord. Bible says they that believe will not perish but have everlasting life. You got to believe in Him. But number two, you have to do a second qualification. You have to call on the name of the Lord. Just because you believe in Him, that doesn't get you into heaven. You say, well, I've gone to church. I've been a good person. I believe in Jesus. That doesn't get you into heaven. The devil believes in Jesus. He knows Jesus is real, but he's not going to heaven. He's never called on the name of the Lord. There's a second thing you have to do, invite the Lord in. So if you're listening to my voice, you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I want to. If you believe in Jesus and if you'll ask Him into your heart, that'll be a reality for you. All you simply say is, Lord, I believe in You. I believe You died and rose again. And I ask You to come into my heart. And then thank Him for saving you And then we'll give Him the praise and the glory for it. Give us an email, shoot us a text, give us a phone call. And let us know and we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church. Let's just praise and glorify Him before we end. I know there's something He wants to do here tonight.